Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Safe haven assets have continued to make steady gains throughout the course of the last week, thanks to a reemergence of trade tensions between the U.S. and China, compounding the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and the uncertainty it's bringing to markets. Today on Forex Fridays, we're joined by Mr. Shyam Devani. He is the founder and chief strategist of Sav Markets, and he's here to share with us his thoughts and what he made of the last 5 days in the Forex space. Shyam, thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad to hear you and your family are in good health during these trying times. And welcome back to the show after all these months. Good afternoon.
Thank you, JP. Good to be with you.
So the week that was had a bit of an awkward start, actually, and a blast from the not-too-distant past. These trade tensions between the U.S. and China picking up and just compounding the ongoing uncertainty by the COVID-19 pandemic on global markets and market sentiment. That actually led to the dollar index picking up steam in the early parts of the week. What do you think is in place for the mighty greenback moving forward? Is this safe haven or is this safe haven the place to be once again for those looking for cover?
Well, this week, you know, you got a bit of up and a bit of down in the dollar. Generally speaking, the market can't quite decide whether it wants to take the dollar higher or lower. And there's a bit of a tug of war going on. You've got a slight degree of safe haven element with respect to the dollar being the world's reserve currency. And at the same time, you've got a picture of big deficits, a massive expansion by the central bank, which are typically bearish signs for the dollar. Now, if I look at the way the dollar has behaved, say, since the start of the year or shortly after that, you had a major degree of volatility in markets. The dollar did pop a little bit, but if you look at the dollar index, we did not go through the January 2017 high. And if that degree of volatility that we saw in March couldn't take the dollar through there and higher, then I'm really not sure what really will take any higher. So you might get the odd day or the odd week where you get a bounce back in the dollar. But I think that for a little while, this tug of war between whether the market wants to take it up or down is going to continue. It's somewhat similar to what happened after the Lehman's crisis in 2008. As we went into 2009, there was a bit of two-way flow, and this lasted for a while. You know, you had the dollar going in one direction for a few months and another direction for months later, and it didn't really find a proper trend until we got into 2011, when there was a major crisis in Europe. I think this time around, what you're going to see is in the short term, again, two-way price action. But as the dust begins to settle, my bias would be that the dollar would fall. Given the amount of expansion of the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, my bias is that we'll probably end up lower over the medium to long term.
It could be some time of trading sideways for the greenback, but could something like, say, the November elections give the dollar a sudden surge or help the greenback find its footing and perhaps see another strong uptick? Last November 2016, we saw after President Trump won the elections, many analysts started anointing the U.S. dollar as being king dollar, and we saw that spectacular surge. Could that repeat itself in the coming months or towards the end of the year?
It's quite interesting you mentioned 2016, because after the election, the dollar did surge only until the inauguration of Donald Trump. So it was a few months surge and it peaked out on the dollar index in January of 2017. It didn't last. The market got carried away. This time round, I'm not sure because, well, number one, we don't know who's going to win the US election. But number two, I'm not sure whichever way it goes, it would be that much of a surprise. When Donald Trump came in and won in 2016, for a lot of the market, it really was a shocking moment. This time around, whether he wins again or whether he loses, whether it's going to be that degree of surprise, I'm not convinced. Only because the state of affairs, the unprecedented, well, in recent memory anyway, type of crisis that we've got now, there's strong arguments in any which direction. And so the degree of surprise element won't quite be there.
We're still speaking to Mr. Shyam Devani, the founder and chief strategist of Sav Markets here on Forex Fridays. Of course, if we're talking about trade tensions and COVID-19 pandemics, we have to talk about the Chinese yuan. How has the recent events and all of these resurgence in potential trade tensions influenced your outlook on the Chinese yuan? Is the renminbi in for more weakness, do you think?
Well, I look at dollar China and it hasn't done anything extraordinary. In fact, on the day, on the week, it's down now. That doesn't mean that the trade tensions and that sort of protectionism isn't important. It is. But I'm looking at this and dollar China hasn't managed to rally much higher. And instead, it looks weak to me. I think in the short term, we can probably make it back down to 685 and then who knows thereafter. I mean, it's certainly a work in progress. I wouldn't be surprised if these kinds of tensions continue in an environment like this. But I think also that, you know, for a lot of 2019, the market was kind of getting used to this. And until something solid comes out, they're less likely to get completely carried away at this stage.
Now, Sham, I want to talk about the Hong Kong dollar, which we saw some news earlier this week about the Hong Kong Exchange Fund, which is usually meant to stabilize and defend the Hong Kong dollar, see their biggest first quarter loss. Now, they mainly attributed it to market losses, but we have seen the Monetary Authority in Hong Kong step in a lot to try and defend this peg. Based on your experience covering the forex markets, what does this tell us about how tricky it is to maintain a fixed peg or a fixed currency, as like, say, the Hong Kong dollar, especially in these very unusual times?
Well, when you've got a fixed exchange rate, you run a currency board instead of a central bank. And the monetary base should be backed by the equivalent amount of assets in the other currency by that currency board. So that if anyone wants to change, you know, Hong Kong dollars into US dollars, there's a backing to do that. Now, the Hong Kong Exchange Fund has total assets of more than 4 trillion Hong Kong dollars. The Hong Kong Monetary Authority has reported monetary base at around 1.7 trillion Hong Kong dollars and a backing asset within that change fund of 1.8 trillion Hong Kong dollars. So it's backed up solidly. And in theory, those other assets could be used if needed. So while they had a tricky first quarter, their losses only amount to something like 2% of the aggregate fund. They're pretty solid. I'm not worried about that peg. The backing is there. They've got a huge fund in the background, which, if needed, could be tapped into. And they've reported that their backing assets within it more than cover the monetary base in Hong Kong. Plus, also, you've got to remember, I think Hong Kong is one of those places that is doing pretty well in this pandemic. So a risk from that perspective doesn't seem that problematic at the moment, and I don't think it will. It's not on full lockdown, Hong Kong. And as we know, you know, China is beginning to open up again. So I'm not worried about Hong Kong.
We're still speaking to Mr. Sham Devani, the founder and chief strategist at Sav Markets here on Forex Friday. Sham, we have to talk about the British pound and the Bank of England's recent decision. Well, they did decide to hold off on providing more stimulus for the time being, but they did say that they're expecting the worst economic contraction in the United Kingdom this year in about 300 years, about negative 14% based on their estimates. And as we know, the UK is also trying to negotiate a crucial trade deal with the European Union. What will this mean for the British pound moving forward? And can you comment on the relationship between a weaker pound and stronger FTSE, especially benefiting some of the British exporters? Well, will they still benefit if there is an economic downturn and continued trade tensions?
Well, I don't think this could have happened at a worse time for the UK. The UK is determined to leave the European Union. After the election, where, you know, you've got the current Prime Minister getting the backing of a lot of the population that wouldn't typically vote for his party, he's promised to deliver on this, and I think he has to. So leaving the European Union is most likely happening when he says it's going to happen. Now, the idea was to strike trade deals with other countries, and this is happening now, or is supposed to be happening, at a time when protectionism is going up. Global trade was on the way down before this coronavirus anyway, so it wasn't necessarily the best of environments. This crisis is such that it's not going to be any better. Plus, you know, the fact that the UK, unfortunately, has really been damaged by this virus is going to leave the government finances in a weak position. So I'm not very optimistic on any grand trade deals being struck by the UK. I'm not necessarily very optimistic on their fiscal front. I'm not very optimistic on the currency. Now, it's going to take time to see if the economy is going to be in as bad shape as the Bank of England or other commentators think. I think it's too early to really figure that out at the moment. And I think that's why, you know, the Bank of England have done the right thing here in communicating and warning of the troubles ahead, and have said that they're ready to act if necessary, perhaps will do later. But I don't see much upside here for the pound sterling. As for your comment on exporters, and it is different this time. You know, when you had the pound falling after the EU referendum, there was this inverse relationship between the currency and the stock market, but that's not the case anymore, because what's impacting the FTSE more is equities as an asset class globally rather than the value of the pound.
Sham, finally, I want to circle back to the topic of safe havens. If the dollar index might have some limited upside as a safe haven of choice, what does this mean for gold? Where you see gold heading, and just how bullish the upside might be if you think dollar's potential as a safe haven is capped or limited?
Well, you know, the most interesting thing I find about gold is if you take the long-term view, and you look at the low in gold in the late 1990s, it was around the same time that the Bank of Japan started its quantitative easing. It put the low in gold. You had then the NASDAQ crisis and American interest rates falling down to 1%, et cetera, and you got a bull run on gold. Then you had another move down between the years 2011 and the end of 2015. And interestingly enough, gold hit a low in December 2015, the very next month, the Bank of Japan cut interest rates in negative, and they put the low in gold, and we've been going up since. And what I'm trying to highlight here is that when central banks start playing around with these kind of monetary policies, expanding their balance sheets, going to negative interest rates in some cases, you're basically diluting your currency and increasing a move for the hard currency to do well, which is exactly what's happening in gold. And now you see central banks expanding their balance sheets even further, fairly global. So many central banks, whether we're talking about the Federal Reserve, the ECB, the Bank of England, the Bank of Japan, you're going to get that uptrend in gold staying in place. I wouldn't be surprised against the dollar, 1900 in the near term. And if you just take a look at the behavior of gold after the last crisis, after Lehman Brothers, from late 2008 all the way through to 2011, you got a surge of over 170% in gold against the US dollar. So if that's any roadmap, then long term, over the years ahead, you could be talking in the region of $4,000. I absolutely think that there is this rally in gold because of the expansion of these central bank balance sheets. And furthermore, I do not think that any talk of some assets in the central bank's balance sheet being temporary is right. That's exactly the kind of talk that was there a bit more than 10 years ago after Lehman Brothers, that some of those assets would be unwound or sold back into the market. That didn't happen. And this time, the same type of talk is coming out that there'll be temporary expansion of the balance sheet. And again, I don't think that's going to be the case. They're going to hold on to these assets because they're addicted to it.
Mr. Sham Devani, founder and chief strategist of Sav Markets, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Forex Fridays. And so we wish you and your family continued health and fortune during these troubled times.
And to you, JP. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.